This morning we want to discuss for a few moments the subject, the temporary me and the eternal me. Our text this morning is 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16. There are many passages that deal with the fact that there are two of us in one. There has been some discussion recently among some folks that we consist of three beings. I don't find that to be taught anywhere within the Word of God. But I do see from this passage and from others that there are two of us. Therefore, one of us is temporary and one is eternal. The Apostle Paul, in writing to the Corinthian brethren, the second letter, which we have recorded for our benefit, in chapter 4 and verse 16 says, "For which cause we faint not, and though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day." This gives us some insight as to the duality of man. The fact that the outward man can be seen is that which we can see and touch, and that we realize and understand feels pain and hurt. And then we have the inward man, and it is to be renewed day by day. And so I want to spend time this morning talking about first the temporary me and then the eternal me. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 44, we see the comparison between the body, or the different phases, if you will, of me. He's speaking of the body. He said it is sown in a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body. That which we can see, that which we can touch, is our physical body. We know this to be the case because we have interacted with one another over the years. And in so doing, we know that it is a physical body. We also know, because of the loss of loved ones, that it is a temporary body. Oftentimes the question comes up as to what happens when the physical body no longer finds use upon this earth. Do we cease to be? Not according to James chapter 4 and verse 14. Whereas James is writing in this general epistle, and he says, "Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away." He then, of course, is speaking of the physical body and the fact that our time here on earth is limited. We all look at life from a different viewpoint because we're all different ages, or somewhat different ages. Some of us look forward thinking that we have a lot of time. Some of us look forward and maybe think, maybe I don't have so much time. But the truth of the matter is, regardless if we are in our teens or octogenarians in our 80s, we don't know how much time we have. James says that appeareth for a little time and vanisheth away. And taking in consideration that eternity is everlasting, if we live 80, 90, or 100 years in this life, it is still just a little time. It is a brief moment. In Psalms chapter 89, verse 48, we see the warning that none shall escape the grave. It says, "What is man, or what man is he that liveth and shall not see death? Shall he deliver his soul from the hand of the grave?" As we go through this life, sometimes we think that we are impervious to certain things that occur. I have known folks who seemingly involved themselves in all sorts of risky adventures because they didn't think anything could happen to them. And there are times when they, because of their activities, have cheated death. One such person is Evel Knievel. For many years, he cheated death. Several of the accidents that he invariably found himself recuperating from should have killed him. And he cheated death for a while, but eventually he died. The same is true of all folks that walk the earth. And of course, there are those who may not see death as we possibly will see death in the conclusion of our life, but they too will be changed and they will be raised in a spiritual body. Ecclesiastes chapter 8 and verse 8 tells us that we have no power in the day of death. We might very well ward it off for a few years, a few weeks, a few months, or perhaps for many years. We all should strive to live the kind of lives that are clean and pure, put into our bodies those things which are good for us, and not put into our bodies those things which are not good for us. But the truth of the matter is that we have no power in the day of death. There is no man that hath power over the spirit to retain the spirit. Neither hath he power in the day of death. And there is no discharge in that war. Neither shall wickedness deliver those that are given to it. When we die, our soul shall depart. In the bulletin this morning, there's an article that I wrote regarding this very subject. And we know that when death occurs, it is the separation of the soul and the spirit. The Bible teaches us that this body goes back to the earth, to the elements from which it came, and the soul goes back to God who gave it. We see also in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 and following, which of course is our text, but the following verses will also be read at this time. He says, "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet our inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not on the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." Notice, if you will, the words of the Apostle Paul is given to him by the Spirit, where he says, this light affliction, which is but for a moment. Oftentimes when we're enduring affliction, when we are persevering in the face of persecution, we don't think it is but for a moment, do we? We think that when will this ever end? When will this cease? When can I stop my suffering? I have heard of those who afflicted with life-threatening illnesses, their health being depleted, have asked other people the question, why can't I just die? What they're seeking is relief from this pain, this suffering, which is just for a moment. But this affliction, which Paul calls light, says, worketh for us a more exceeding and eternal waiting glory of glory, that we do not look on the things which are seen, but we look at the things which are not seen. None of us have seen heaven, but it should be the goal of all of us that we go and that we spend eternity with God. But know this, we will not go in this frail physical body. This frail physical body, which is afflicted by viruses, sicknesses, other health issues, will one day be at rest. When I say that, it will no longer suffer. So many times I've been standing by the casket of a friend, family, loved one, and others looking down will say, well, they're not suffering anymore. In that physical body, no, there is no more suffering. We know in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27 that it is the fate of all of us to face death. But it is also important for us to realize and understand that when we face death, when these physical mortal bodies no longer function, that there is something beyond. And it does not matter how we live in this life relative to that final appointment, because all will participate in that final appointment. It said, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. The judgment is definitely something that will occur, and it will not occur while we are in this physical body. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 verse 20 tells us this. It tells us the fate of these physical bodies, and we all might die in some different way. Some will die as a result of accident. Some will die as a result of illnesses and disease. Others will die, or their bodies will cease to function as a result of the process of life. In other words, they will die of old age or natural causes. But Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 20 tells us all go into one place. This is speaking of the physical body, the us, the me that you can see. All are of the dust, and all turn to dust again. So we know about the temporary me. It is here on this earth. It has a span of time in which it will exist and function and interact with all others who are of this earth at the same time. And then we also need to be aware of the eternal me. The eternal me is the me which continues to live on. And actually, if you stop and think about it, and if you'll look into it closely, you'll find out that the eternal me should control the temporary me. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 42 and beginning, we see the Apostle Paul writing by the Spirit regarding resurrection, the resurrection of the dead. Notice, he says, so also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. The transition that takes place when a body goes into the ground, when the resurrection occurs at the sound of the trump, it will be raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. Notice verse 44. It is sown in a natural body. It is raised in a spiritual body. There have been those that have asked the question, what about those who died, let's say, 500 years ago? How is their body going to come forth from the grave? Well, it's not the same physical body that went into the tomb or into the grave. Much of those have returned to the dust. It is a spiritual body. Notice in Philippians chapter 3, verse 21, we see that there is going to be a transformation. There's going to be a change. We don't like our body now. Hey, that's okay. We're going to get a new one. But we've got to take care of the eternal me now while it is in this temporary me, so that it might receive the proper body. Who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Jesus Christ will provide us with the right body when we come forth from the grave. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 51 through 53, we see a mystery spoken of by the Apostle Paul as he's writing to these brethren so that they might fully understand death. And they might also understand their situation if they were to be here when the trumpet sound, when the Lord returned. He says, behold, I'll show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment. In the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. That's why we call it the eternal me. Oh yes, this temporary me will die. It will cease to function, and at some point it will cease to exist, but the eternal me will not cease to exist. We must realize and understand that God has a plan for that which he has entrusted to us for the time that we have it while here on this earth. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, we know that according to this and other places, that God will provide us with a proper house. When you stop and think about it now, all the temporary me is temporary housing for the eternal me. He says, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, and a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. As we said earlier, this should be the goal of all Christians. This should, in fact, be the goal of all people, which should produce more Christians. Folks should be aware of the fact that the temporary me will cease to function, and therefore there will be need for a place for the eternal me. And in so considering this and the options available, by the way, there are only two. It should cause them to seek. In John chapter 5, verses 28 through 30, Jesus spoke of this. He spoke of the time in which he would come. He said, "Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in that which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me." What he's saying here is that everybody, all the temporary ones, are in effect eternal. And while they are eternal, they must prepare for where they will spend eternity. Notice, they shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. That's the two options. When it all boils down, you're either going to heaven or you're going to hell. And you'll be there for eternity. In Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 through 32, we have Jesus Christ depicting for us the way in which this might be carried out. He says, "When the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another as a shepherd divideth his sheep from his goats." We see the scene depicted, and we can just imagine it in our mind's eye when all of the nations are gathered before the Lord, and we see that he's placing some on the right hand and some on the left. That obviously means that there's something different between the two groups. Matthew chapter 25 and verse 34 gives us an inkling of what is going on. "Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." Now, we needn't read anything into this that's not there. He did not choose those folks ahead of time who would spend eternity in heaven. He did not choose and pick and say, these number of people will be here for eternity and everyone else will go to destruction. It will be those that have done good unto the resurrection of life that will go into heaven. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you. You see, the kingdom of heaven has been prepared for those who are, as Christ did, seeking to do the Father's will and doing it. In verse 41 of Matthew chapter 25, we see the sad, sad fate of those who stand before God, having lived their time in their temporary abode for themselves. "Then shall he say unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." Matthew chapter 25 and verse 46 tells us definitively where these will be. "And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal." In every case, we will find that those who selected, who decided to follow God according to his words, will be those who are called the righteous. And in every case, those who refuse to follow God, those who chose to follow someone else or themselves, will be in the group that are told will go into everlasting punishment. Now, knowing that we live this present life as a temporary me, that we will live an eternal life as the eternal me, We need to ask ourselves the question, how then should I live? When we know the outcome is one of two things, it should cause us to ask ourselves the question, how should I live while I am in this body? Colossians chapter 3 and verse 2 tells us how we are to live. We are to set our affection on things above, not on things of the earth. And there are things of the earth that are pleasant. There are things that God has provided for us that are good. But our focus, first and foremost, is to be on God. Those things which He has provided for us here on the earth are here for our use and can be used. In fact, He expects us to use them. But we are to set our affections on the things which are above. In other words, we are to set our affections on heaven. This is the goal. This is the mark for which we are to press forward. The psalmist in Psalms 39:4 asked the Lord to help him. He said, Lord, make me to know mine end and the measure of my days, what it is, that I may know how frail I am. Some, in talking about pains, discomfort in this temporary body, understand and realize how frail we are. We need to measure our days. We need to be aware of the fact how frail we are and understand that we are to live so that the eternal me resides for eternity with God. In Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 12, we see yet another passage which tells us of the brevity of life. It says, for man also knoweth not his time, as the fishes that are taken in an evil net, as the birds that are caught in the snare, so are the sons of men snared in evil time when it falleth suddenly upon them. The truth of the matter as we go through this life is life happens. There are good aspects of life. There are bad aspects of life. But while we're living here in this life, it happens. But we needn't be controlled by it. Again, we are to set our affection on things above, not on things of the earth. Again, the psalmist in Psalms 90 and verse 12 tells us how we ought to act, how we ought to spend our time. He says, so teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. It's all about choice. When we go through life, we have choices. But all will pay as they live. If we don't focus on God in this life, there will be no life after this one in which we may focus upon God. In Matthew chapter 25 and verse 13, we are told, watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. There are those who have deluded themselves and think, you know what? History has continued on for about 2,000 years since the Lord left. It's probably going to be about 2,000 more before He comes. It's what some people say. I've had people to say that to me. Well, not according to the Bible. Right here we just read, for no man knoweth. Ye neither know the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man cometh. Ask yourself the question, am I living in the temporary me as I should? So that if that hour were now, if that day was today, that I would spend my eternity with God. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 11 through 13, we have instruction for those who think that there's going to be a scrubbing of the earth, a sanctification of the earth, a place for a do-over or a second chance. That's not what the Bible teaches. Peter, in writing in this general epistle, says, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? all of these things which we see and know of today. This beautiful spring weather, the grass growing with reckless abandon, the pollen in the air which makes us all sneeze. It's all going to be gone. He says in verse 12, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. We all want to be there. We want to go. In the Ephesian letter, Paul provides warning for them, tells them how we ought to walk, how we ought to live. He says, seeing then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. The will of the Lord is that all should come to repentance, but each individual has to make that choice. They are to live so that they make the right choice. In Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 10, we see that we are to put all our effort into those things which we do. It says, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. And yes, it is important for us to put ourselves into our labor. It is that labor which helps us to provide for our families, to be able to participate in many of the blessings which God has provided for us. However, we cannot allow that to be the one thing that we follow. Remember, there's no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave. When we get to the grave, it's all over, so far as this temporary me is concerned. Rather, we ought to be like the psalmist. In Psalms 118 in verse 24, when he wrote, "This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will all rejoice and be glad in it." Be glad for the time that you have, but spend it properly. Remember, there's two of you as you sit there in your seat today. The temporary you will die. Oh, it's sad. It hurts when a loved one goes on to their reward. But it is a fact. The eternal you will spend eternity somewhere. But God, in his infinite wisdom, has provided that you make that choice. This morning, I want to give you opportunity to make that choice. If you're not a child of God, you can become one. If you are a child of God and have allowed sin to come into your life and to separate between you and God, you need to understand and be aware of the fact that the eternal you is in jeopardy. At the conclusion of our sermons and at the conclusion of our Bible study periods, we extend the invitation. And that's exactly what it is. It's the invitation of God, so that you might have opportunity to make that choice. The gospel plan of salvation is simple. We find it in a number of different places. We use different passages to explain each point within that invitation. We see in James chapter 1 and verse 22 that we must hear the word of God. James tells the brethren there, "But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." If we hear the word of God, it is good. And we should hear the word of God. But if we hear it and do not do it, we are deceiving ourselves. And if we're deceiving ourselves, we are marching ourselves off to eternity. We are to also believe. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6 tells us, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." If indeed we believe in God, and we believe that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him, why do we not diligently seek him? Remember, we are striving to spend eternity with him. Having heard and believed, we are to repent. Acts chapter 17 and verse 30 tells how God looks at repentance. It says, "At the times of this ignorance, God winked at. But now, and let me submit from that time until time ends, God requires repentance. But now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Jesus himself made it very clear that we were to confess. He said that we are to confess him in Matthew chapter 10, verses 32 and 33. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father, which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father, which is in heaven. But if we've done all these things, we still have not become children of God. Acts chapter 10 and verse 48 shows what we must do. And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Those who came at that time, he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord, because this is where the blood of Christ is applied. One cannot enter into the kingdom of God unless he is born again. And he is born in the watery grave of baptism. Having heard, believed, repented, confessed, and been baptized into Christ, a person becomes a child of God. He has started that journey, the transition, if you will, from the temporary me to the eternal me. But it's an ongoing thing. In Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10, as these seven churches were being addressed, they were told how that they might receive that crown of life. Be thou faithful unto death. What is not written there, but what is implied very strongly, stated very distinctly, is that if you're not faithful unto death, you will not receive that crown of life. Perhaps this morning there are those who have become a child of God, and for whatever reason have not remained faithful. Because you're able to hear this, all hope is not lost. We are taught in Acts chapter 8 and verse 22 that God has provided for you also. He says, here's what you must do. Because you are a child of God, you must repent therefore of this thy wickedness and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. What's your situation? Oh yeah, we all are in our temporary me. We're living life. We're getting by. But have we taken care of the eternal me? Do it today before it's everlastingly too late. If you need to respond to the Lord's invitation, won't you come as together we stand and sing?